From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We invite you to stay tuned for a message from God's Word, preached by Dr. Alan Cairns. As the Lord Jesus Christ approached the hour of His crucifixion, He took time to prepare His disciples for the time when He would no longer be with them physically. In several passages in the Gospel of John, we find Christ telling His sorrowing disciples that when He returned to heaven, He would send them a Comforter, referring to the Holy Spirit. In a message entitled, The Comforter, Dr. Cairns is explaining the various ministries of the Holy Spirit to the people of God. First of all, He comforts God's suffering people. Before Dr. Cairns comes to the Word of God, he answers the question, Why did Christ have to be a man? The video version of these comments may be found under Q&A with Alan Cairns on our website, ltbsradio.com.
The answer to the question as to why the representative and the savior of man had to be a man, couldn't be, say, the archangel or some other angel, or whether why sin couldn't be just forgiven by a nod or a word from God. Why did the Son of God have to become a man? The answer to that is given in the Scriptures very simply and very, very clearly. Paul said, by man came death. By man also comes the resurrection from the dead. You must understand that God is holy and just and good. There is no tension, there is no contradiction in the personality of God, or, if I may put it this way, among the characteristics or the attributes of God. In other words, His justice isn't fighting His love, and His love isn't fighting His justice. His justice is a loving justice. His love is a just and holy love. There is a harmony, perfect harmony in God. Now keep that in mind, because when God in love moves to save sinners, He cannot move unjustly. If God were to inflict the punishment of human sin on an angel, how would we ever be able to defend His justice? It would be a double injustice of having the guilty go free while the innocent suffers. By man came sin, by man came death. Man's predicament is the product of man. And the answer to human disobedience to God's law has to be human obedience. Now, not one of us can produce that obedience. And this is where the love of God, the goodness and kindness of God comes in meeting the standards of His own justice. By man must come the answer to disobedience and sin and death. And so God sent His own Son into the world to become flesh, as the Bible puts it, to take a true human nature into union with Himself, so that in a true humanity, a true human body, and a true human soul, He would live a life of obedience to God's law and die a death of sacrificial atonement, so that He would not only meet the precept, but pay the penalty of the broken law. The book of Hebrews takes this up. In chapter 1, it emphasizes that Jesus Christ is truly God. In chapter 2, it emphasizes that Jesus Christ is truly man. And why did He become a man? Well, at the end of that chapter, it says it behoved Him to be made like unto His brethren for various reasons. First, only as a man could He be tempted. Second, only as a man could He suffer. only therefore as a man could he sacrifice and be our great high priest. That's something that the book of Hebrews goes on to discuss. Offering himself a sacrifice for sin, it could only be as a true man. That's the real reason why it was necessary for the Savior to become a man. No one else could ever be the representative of, the Savior of, or the Redeemer of sinners.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we are greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We're grateful for the letters, the emails, and the phone calls we've received from many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word. Some have spoken of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the LTBS audio magazine. This is available in CD format only and is similar in content to the LTBS quarterly magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. The upcoming edition will be focusing on the great 1859 revival which took place in Ulster. You may have a free copy of LTBS Audio Magazine simply by writing to LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's LTBS at freepres.org, or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be baptized? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? And is the emerging church dangerous? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Now, the very first thing that we have noted, and we'll set it out again, is that the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, is the Christian's comforter. Actually, there are quite a few scholars who deny that the word in the Greek means comforter at all. And they use, I had to look again, they love to use big words. And on what they call semasiological grounds. That sounds impressive, doesn't it? You couldn't be impressed with that, you're dumb, deaf and blind. Well, I have to say, on those grounds they tell us the word cannot mean comforter. Having said that, I'm not greatly impressed by all their argument. The word semasiological simply means that these are grounds based on the history of the development of the word's meaning. Well, that's very interesting. But when you get into the scripture, you find that the Holy Spirit is the comforter, no matter what the scholars say. He is the comforter. In John 16, the promise was given very evidently amidst great sorrow. It was meant to be a comfort. And not only was the promise meant to be a comfort, but the person who was promised, namely the Holy Ghost, was evidently, in the terms of this promise, meant to deal with the sorrow and the despair that filled the hearts of God's people. So his chief purpose in coming was, in truth, to be their comforter. You know, God's people are living in a world in which they certainly need comfort. Comfort's one of those words that you use and you never stop to think of the meaning of it. You stop to think of it. What does it mean? The word comfort carries in it the idea of a certain sense of ease and enjoyment in the midst of afflictions, trials, troubles, and sufferings. And so the Lord Jesus is promising that the Holy Spirit of God will be the one who will impart God's ease, the enjoyment of divine things, to hearts that are sealed by all sorts of evil and calamity and trouble and suffering and trial. Now, God's people are certainly a suffering people. That's something that isn't too often preached today. We have all, in some way or other, been touched by the charismatic delusion that it's God's will that you never have trouble, that it's God's will that you never suffer illness or pain or reverses or calamities. They have even the audacity to go to the greatest man of God of his age, Job, whom the Lord sets forth as an example of suffering and an example of faith and an example of patience. And they have the lying audacity to tell us that it was because Job feared that God struck him and God smote him, whereas God himself says it was because Job was so holy that there was no one else like him in the earth that the Lord, for his own glory, allowed him to go through the fires of suffering and of trouble. Isaiah tells us in chapter 48 and 10 that God's people are chosen in a furnace of affliction. Zechariah tells us that they are an afflicted and poor people. The Lord Jesus, in the 16th chapter of John, promised his disciples, in this world ye shall have tribulation. Paul and Barnabas warned their early converts as they sought to confirm them in the faith. And they said that we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. And again, Paul was very adamant in telling young Timothy that all that would live godly in Christ Jesus would suffer persecution. So God's people are in a furnace of affliction. And thus it is a major work of the gospel to bring comfort to their hearts. You remember the words of Isaiah, chapter 40 and verse 1? This is the verse that starts the second part of the prophecy of Isaiah, the part that corresponds with the New Testament. You'll remember that Isaiah has 66 chapters, just as the Bible has 66 books. The first 39 books of the Bible make up the Old Testament. The first 39 chapters of Isaiah make up the first great part of that prophecy, corresponding generally with the Old Testament. And now, in the 40th chapter, he enters into the great evangelical prophecy of the New Testament gospel in all its fullness. And how does it start? Comfort ye! Comfort ye, my people! The gospel has as one of its great aims and objects the comfort of the people of God. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the apostle writes to a very troubled people, and he says in verse 3, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies." Listen, "the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." He is the God of all comfort. He comforteth us in all our tribulation. Remember what Paul wrote to the Romans in chapter 15 and verse 4? "Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." This is the great aim of the gospel. Now that gospel can alone bring ease and enjoyment to the believer in this world. I don't want to stop to labor that point this morning, but I want to make it clear. God's people in this world are beset by many ills. They are assailed by all the forces that come upon all men. But they are the peculiar and particular targets of their great enemy, the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. We wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we've got to learn. We are assailed. It is a mistake for a Christian to think that his happiness depends upon finance. Now, I'm not advocating that you try to live without money. A friend of mine used to say, "I don't really have any great love for money, but it's very handy when you're going to the shop." They somehow or other like to get their hands on it. But I'm not advocating any sort of mystical asceticism or anything of that nature. But I am saying that it's a mistake for a Christian to think that his happiness depends upon finances, or upon surroundings, or upon all the creature comforts that we have come to be so well used to in this 20th century. These things may, in the grace of God, be given to God's people for their use for the glory of God. But our happiness does not depend on them. I have known people to spend a fortune trying to buy peace of mind. I have seen people, even Christians, and they have gone on spending sprees. They have sought to satisfy a wife or a husband. They have sought to placate children by just continually buying, getting, obtaining, and they have somehow felt, if only we can change our surroundings, if only we have more things, then we'll be happy. Now, things, as I emphasized, may be given us in the goodness of God, or they may be withholden from us in the wisdom of God. But our happiness does not depend on things. The only ease and enjoyment that a Christian can have lastingly in a world beset with calamity and evil and sin is that which comes through the gospel. The only peace of heart he can get is that which God gives through the gospel. There's nothing more sad than to see a man who's saved not enjoying peace of heart and mind because he has lost the vision of Christ and filled his eyes with the vision of the world. There's no sadder thing than that. It is the special work of God the Holy Ghost to apply the gospel to the hearts of the people of God to give them comfort.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.